let's discuss today a few inyanim about lag ba'omer. All right, first of all, let's go through some basic things before we go. We do some drush. There's a simon called peleg. Okay, Mr. Cohen.
Rabban.
Okay, so let's discuss this simon called peleg. What is peleg? Peleg is that plag. Plag is Purim and Lag Ba'omer. We know that every day of Pesach, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, all the days of Pesach correspond to other days of the year. Okay, in other words, the first day of Pesach, the day of the week upon which the first day of Pesach falls out will be the day Atbash, Aleph Tov. The first day of Pesach will be Tov, will be the day of Tisha B'Av. One of the reasons we eat eggs at the Seder, one of many reasons, is because it's a Zecher for Avelus. What is the Avelus? Tisha B'Av. The day of the week in which the first day of Pesach falls out will be the day of the week which Tisha B'Av will fall out. What is Beis? Beis is Shin, Shavuos. The second day of Pesach, the day of the week, will be the day in which Shavuos will fall out. Gimel is Reish, and that is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I'm going to forget. What is Dalit? Dalit is Kuf, Kriya. I think it's Kriya. Kriya is Shmini Atzeres. I'm forgetting the whole Seder. I don't look up the Seder, whatever it is. Part of the Seder, I'm forgetting all the details, is Pilag. I don't know how that comes into play, I forgot, but it refers to that Lag Ba'omer, the day of the week, of Lag Ba'omer is the day of the week which last year's Purim fell out, the past. In other words, when was Purim this year? On a Friday. If Purim is on a Friday, Lag Ba'omer is on a Friday. What's interesting is that in this siman, which I'm being unfair, I'm not telling you all the details, maybe you probably know the details better than me, in these simanim, we ordinarily go forward. We go from the first night of Pesach it's foreshadowing what will be in the future Tisha B'Av. The second day of Pesach is foreshadowing what's going to be in the future. The third day of Pesach is foreshadowing what's going to be in the future, another holiday. The only holiday that we go backwards is Purim. Okay, and I forgot the siman. I forgot what the siman is. And the siman for that is Peleg. You should go look at Shulchan Aruch. It's the end of Chelek Hei in Mishneh Berurah. Chelek Dal, I think. I don't remember anymore. In the Mishneh Berurah. And that is, in these simanim, which we look into the year, the only one that we go backwards is Purim. And that's very interesting. First of all, it reveals to us something very important, that there is a relationship between Purim and Lag Ba'omer. That's number one. The two are they're cousins. And number two, Purim really is a holiday in retrospect. All of the other holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, we're coming to Shavuos soon, it's a Kabbalah Satorah. What is Kabbalah Satorah all about? Looking forward. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, what is it all about? The new year, looking forward. When it comes to Yom Kippurim, what is it all about? Slicha u'mechila for our sins in the past, so that now we can go forward clean. All the holidays, to a very large degree, are all about a new perspective, a new putting ourselves, a new frame of mind to go forward. Purim, the miracle of Purim, is clearly all about when Achashverosh, when the Yeshua came, we had an appreciation of what happened in the past. And the fact that Lag BaOmer is a cousin of Purim, that opens up for us a whole new world. That when we look at Lag BaOmer, being that Lag BaOmer is connected to Purim, and Purim and Lag BaOmer are going backwards, that means that when you Lag BaOmer is a day which awakens us to have an appreciation of the past. Now, how is that different than Purim? Well, on a very simple level, Purim is a holiday that relates to events. Lag BaOmer is a revelation that the past, looking back into the past, there was meaning. Not that there was a sequence of events being choreographed to bring about a result, but it gives value when there's a revelation of purpose. It legitimizes the past. We always ask ourselves, what's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of all this? Why did I have to suffer? Why did I have to lose my job? Why did this have to happen? So, you don't know. We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea. No one knows anything. But every once in a while, a person has a revelation. There's a revelation, a personal revelation. A person begins to appreciate, oh, there was a purpose. That's Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the revelation of the secrets. Just like in the Sitzrei Torah, Rashbi, it's all about Rashbi revealing to the world the reason for the mitzvah. It's like the Ta'amei HaMitzvah. It's the reason for the mitzvah. In life, often we feel that we're going through an experience, whether it's good or bad, and what's the purpose of this? Lag BaOmer captures a sense, an appreciation that there was a purpose in why we experienced something. Not that what we experienced was a part of a puzzle in order to achieve a certain result. That's Purim. Purim, there were events. This happened, that happened, who cares? When the event happened, did it make a difference? Achashverosh, he kills Vashti. Good for him, who cares? How does it affect you? It's his problem. That's what do you care? Achashverosh kills Vashti, okay, no. Then, all of a sudden, he takes Esther. Okay, it's a tzara. Esther was taken as a queen. But it didn't have an effect on the life of the individual. There's a problem. There are a million problems in Klal Yisrael. Every day there are tzaras. Esther now is in the palace. Is she starving to death? No. Is she able to observe Shabbos? Yes. Okay, so she was abducted. Obviously, it's not a good thing for a nice space Yaakov girl to be abducted by a sheikitz. Obviously, but it didn't affect the life of the individual. When Purim, then it was a gzeiros hashmad. Oh, that already affected people's lives. But then when there was a salvation, now it became clear how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was putting every single piece of the puzzle together to achieve a goal. There's coordination. There is sophistication of how everything has to come together. That can only be appreciated in hindsight. Lag BaOmer, you're not doing that. You're not appreciating how all the pieces of the puzzle come together to achieve a result. What you're doing on Lag BaOmer is you're able to look backwards at a difficult event and appreciate there was a purpose. It's not part of a puzzle. There's no puzzle in hindsight on Lag BaOmer. But when you have a day where there's a revelation of secrets, now you understand. It carries with it the emun. We don't understand anything, but if a person experienced something very difficult in life, you look back in hindsight, what? I understand. There was a purpose. It prepared me. This event, it prepared me for something else. Not that it's a puzzle, but it achieved a very important function and purpose. That's the lesson. You can't deny that's the lesson, because when it comes to all of the simonim, which I'm not revealing, all of the simonim of Pesach, every single one of the days of Pesach foreshadows what will be in the future. But when it comes to Lag BaOmer, when it comes to Purim and Lag BaOmer, these are things which are in the past. These are things which they go together. There are two basic principles. Lag BaOmer and Purim are cousins. Chazal say this, and they give us a simon peleg. Peleg means to split. Peleg is pei lamed gimel. Pei is Purim, then is lamed gimel. And this means the day of the week upon which Purim will fall out will be the day on which Lag BaOmer will fall out. And they go together. Purim and Lag BaOmer. Purim, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is a festival which gives us an appreciation backwards of an understanding of why everything had to happen. If Lag BaOmer is a cousin to Purim, that means Lag BaOmer also shares the principle that it gives an appreciation of the past. So what then is the difference between Purim and Lag BaOmer? Purim is, you see how all the pieces of the puzzle come together in coordination to bring about an event. Lag BaOmer is an appreciation of the past, not that it's part of a greater whole, but that the past served a function. Rashbi was in a cave for 13 years. Rashbi, after he came out of the cave, said, I understand why I was in the cave. If I was not in isolation and experienced the yesurim, the suffering, I would not be who I am today. When, before he went into the cave, the Gemara says that he would ask, a question. He would ask 24 questions. He would ask 24 questions, something like that. And now when he came out of the cave, he developed such a great knowledge that if they would ask him a question, he would give you 48 answers. The other end of the spectrum. He became great through the suffering that he endured. It served a purpose in elevating him to become who he was, to achieve his exalted greatness. So at the time when he was a fugitive, when he was on the run, the question, why? Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this suffering? Now, when he died, the day that Lag BaOmer, when we celebrate the achievements of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on this day, I now understand why I suffered so much in my life. Because it was the suffering which conditioned me for my greatness. It's not that there's a sequence of events that this had to happen so that can happen and that can happen, there had to be coordination. There's none of that. There's just an appreciation of purpose of why events happened. That is a common denominator, a common thing between Purim and Lag BaOmer. And we remind ourselves of this when we acknowledge that this year Lag BaOmer is on Friday, just like Purim was on Friday. Now let us just digress for one moment about some halacha. In a regular year, when Purim falls out in the middle of the week, let's say make-believe it falls out on the Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't know when, on which day it can fall out on. It only can fall out according to the calendar on certain days, whatever those days are. What are the halachas? Are you allowed to take a haircut on the night of Lag BaOmer? And the answer is no. It is categorically forbidden to take a haircut on the night of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is one of the days of Sfirah. According to Shulchan Aruch, basically, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they died. Everyone observes Sfirah from Rosh Chodesh, at least from the second day Rosh Chodesh. Okay, maybe it'll tell me the first day it's a Rosh Chodesh, so there are some customs that on the Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to observe Avelos. But after Rosh Chodesh is over, there's no question about it, on Beis Iyar, every single one in Klal Yisrael, on Beis, the second day of Iyar, is observing the laws of Avelos to commemorate the death of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that perished. Everyone. Okay, that's the common denominator. when did they stop dying? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, they stopped dying on, they died at least through Lamed Gimel. They really stopped dying on Lamed Dalet, on the 34th day. So why then are we celebrating Lamed Gimel? Why Lamed Gimel is a day of celebration? So the answer is, Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi. Just like Rachmana, let's say they want to go to a base Ovel, so the Ovel gets up from Shiva on day 7. He does not observe the entire day. He only observes just Shachris, and then a few moments. He sits Shiva, and then he gets up. Why? It's the 7th day of Shiva. There's a halachic principle called Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi. A fraction of the day counts for the entire day. And that's why people get up on the 7th day. By the way, you only apply the principle of Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi when it comes to mourning, because it's not a good thing. When it comes to joy, there's no Miktsas. And that's why Sheva Brachos, you can make Sheva Brachos. Someone gets married, you can enjoy the Sheva Brachos and make the Brachos until the very, very last moment. Oh, why? Why don't we say Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi? You're done. And therefore, the remainder of the day, or day 7, should be a bracha levatola if you recite the Sheva Brachos. You don't say that. You only say Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi when there's a need, especially when there is mourning or there are restrictions, not when it comes to joy. By the way, where do you learn that out from? You learned it out from Lavan Harami. Lavan Harami said to Yaakov, Malei Shavua Zois. Conclude the week of Sheva Brachas. You want to marry Rachel? I'll give you Rachel also. But first, we're in the middle of the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh for Leah. We have to wait until the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh is over. And don't tell me that you'll get married to Rachel on the 7th day. You'll wrap up the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh in the morning after Shachris with a breakfast. You'll have a nice breakfast on the 7th day of the Sheva Brachos for Leah. We'll have a breakfast after davening, and we'll sit down, we'll wash, and we'll say the 7 blessings. And then, right after that, a few minutes later, we'll bring in Rachel, and we'll marry Rachel. No, 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 Yaakov, we're not going to do that. You know why? Malei. Leah is going to get the Shivas Yimei HaMishteh to the very last end. Good to the last drop. Good to the last drop the entire day. When it comes to days of Simcha, it's Malei Shavua Zois. When it comes to Avelos, it's Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi. So here's a very important insight. It says, Beferish Shulchan Aruch, that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, they died on Lag BaOmer. That's what the Mechaber says. And if they died on Lag BaOmer, there's mourning on Lag BaOmer. And that means no haircuts allowed on the night of Lag BaOmer, and in the morning also. I mean, you have to wait at least. You have
but
to wait.
See, we make a wedding that night.
Okay, so when it comes to the wedding in a second, let's first talk about haircuts. Weddings is another whole topic. One second, we'll come to the wedding in a second. Let's talk about the laws of mourning. There is a custom to mourn. The real custom to mourn is not to take a haircut. Weddings is not really mourning. The Gemara talks about a situation where a person, Rachmana Litzlan, he's about to get married, and then Rachmana Litzlan, he loses a relative. And the Gemara, this happens, unfortunately, this happens in the real world, this happens, a lot of stories like this. The halacha is, if you were all set to get married, proceed with the wedding. Get married, and after the marriage, then there's going to be the funeral. And after the funeral, and you sit the Shiva Simei HaMishteh, and when the Shiva Simei HaMishteh are over, then you'll observe the 7 days of Avelos. You see from the Gemara that marriage, to a very large degree, overrides mourning. Marriage is a basic, one of the most fundamental principles, mitzvahs in Judaism. The Gemara talks about this, L'sheves Yitzvah, bara. L'sheves Yitzvara, the world was not created to be desolate, the world was created to be populated, and marriage more or less trumps any other issue. Avelus, is it deraisa, is it derabbanan, for how long? But marriage is an ikar, the Gemara says. So you have examples in the Gemara where marriage takes kedima over avelos. It's a shocking thing in general that for 33 days that people do not marry during Yemei HaSfira. Okay, because why? Just because we're in mourning over the loss of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, there are other ways to mourn and to grieve. But to stop the world from going on, you don't want to stop the world from proceeding. Look, during this last year in Corona, that was the big, big dilemma. How do you guarantee public safety when the world needs, the economy needs to go along? Because if you're going to go, you meet two machmir, there won't be a world. There's going to be nothing left by the time you come out of a lockdown. There won't be a world to go out to. You'll lock yourself up in your home for a year and you'll come out. There won't be a world left. How do you balance maintaining a healthy economy with guaranteeing the safety of the population, public health? How do you balance a very difficult balancing act? So, but it has to be done. That's why you have to have politicians, right? Politicians to figure this out. How do you balance the two together? Well, you need the same balance when it comes to the days of Sefira. On the one hand, it is an obligation to properly mourn for the loss of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, to learn the lessons of what needs to be learned. But at the same time, the world has to go on, and marriage is a very basic principle of life. And if you're going to put a halt to marriage for the whole Yemei HaSfira, there won't be a world to come back to if you're going to disturb the process of marriage. So this, that we don't get married, is a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous. So that is why, indeed, there are leniencies. There are incredible leniencies in marriage. And one of those leniencies are that Lag BaOmer, you can get married at night. Because marriage is not really part of the mourning. The fact that we abstain from marriage during these days of Sfira, that is not an integral part of reflecting upon the loss of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. We don't do it, but we don't do it to a degree. There are a lot of leniencies, and one of the leniencies is, since Lag BaOmer anyway is the day when we're going to get up from the morning, the next day, so if you don't have an option, if it's very hard to find a date to make a wedding, not everyone does it, not everyone is so enamored making a wedding that I have Lag BaOmer, it's not necessarily the ideal thing to do, but if push comes to shove, you can get married the night of Lag BaOmer. It's okay because the whole idea of not getting married in general is not really etched in stone. It's not something that really truly commemorates the Talmud Rabbi Akiva. But what is an example of something which is more significant? And that is getting a haircut. By the way, haircut does not include taking a shave. Shaving the zakan is not the same thing as taking a haircut. It's much more lenient. Much more lenient. It used to be years ago, people would take a shave every Shabbos, every Friday. Every Friday, go ask any old timer, they'll tell you, they never heard of this new chumra in our generation, where people do not shave the entire time of Sefira. You don't shave. I remember Rav Kahana, he was a five-star, world-class posek. He told me that when he grew up, it was Dvar Pshutim Admod, every single person took a shave on Friday. Every Erev Shabbos, during Sefira, you didn't shave during the week, but on Friday you shaved. Haircut? No. That's the real deal. A haircut is categorically forbidden as Avelos. When does that end? Well, the Talmidim, they died on Lag BaOmer as well. It was the last day. So you have to mourn on Lag BaOmer. But being that it's the last day, we apply the principle, Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi. So you only need to mourn just for a few moments. So after davening is over on Lag BaOmer, and you allow already a few moments to pass, like 10 seconds, now, you've mourned for the Talmid Rabbi Akiva for 33 days. Today is the last day, because today is Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi, and now you can get a haircut. So what about at night? Well, Rachman Lutzan and Ovel, does an Ovel get up from Shiv at night? No. The principle of Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi only kicks in by day. You don't say Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi at night. So at night, haircuts are not allowed. But in the morning, haircuts are allowed. Oh, what about music? Music is not part of, really, is not really part of the avos. It's like getting married. That doesn't say anywhere. With the whole thing of music, you're really not supposed to be listening to music the entire year as a zecher l'chorban. So we're more machmir, but we're only machmir to a degree. And that's why the Lag B'Omer at night, already it's permitted to listen to music on the night of Lag B'Omer. Haircuts are forbidden until the morning of Lag B'Omer, period. Now here is the dilemma. Mishnah Berurah talks about this. What about this year? This year, Lag B'Omer is Erev Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos is an enough of giving honor to Shabbos. Or is a person permitted this particular year to take a haircut Thursday night? L'chvoid Shabbos. Being the Lag B'Omer is Friday, and it's Erev Shabbos, some people need to get started early, and it's convenient to take a haircut Thursday night. Friday, they have to go to work. They can be very, very busy. Are you allowed this year only to take a haircut Thursday night after Tzei Sakai Chavim? So the Mishnah Berurah is pretty machmir. He has three words, put them together, a few, a lot of words, but he says, Efsha, maybe, B'shas Hadchak. Okay, so what does that really mean? Basically, no. Basically, no. Take it as it is. Maybe. He doesn't say it's mutter. He says, maybe it's mutter. And when will I say maybe? Only if you have no other option. So from the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like you're not going to get score points taking a haircut Thursday night this year with the excuse that it's Erev Shabbos. But, you know, if you have a big family, if you have 12 children, and they all need haircuts, and the mother is at end's wit of trying to juggle her life, go to work, make a parnasa, and take care of the children, and Thursday night's the night when they take their baths and you give them haircuts, so the Mishnah Berurah says, it's okay, you can do it. Okay? That's called a Shas HaTchak. Everyone knows what their Shas HaTchak is. And everyone has a right to take advantage of what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Efsher b'shas hatchak, this particular year, when Lag B'Omer is on Friday, Thursday night, you can go and take a haircut. Okay, that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Are there other poskim that say otherwise? I don't know. I really don't know. I didn't get a chance to go and study so much. I saw what other poskim say. Maybe you'll find other leniencies that you can do it without any hesitation. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. All I know is what it says in the Mishnah Berurah as of now. Efshe b'shas hatchak. Okay, Lag B'Omer, do you say Tachnun Lag B'Omer? It's Erev Shabbos. The minig is not to say Tachnun. We don't say Tachnun Lag B'Omer. That's the kind of minig. And most people do not say Tachnun even Erev Lag B'Omer. Okay, that's the kind of minig. Of course, you'll find other Achiluk Edeos. Okay, there are different opinions, but generally, do you say Lam Natseach? I think most people do say Lam Natseach on Erev Shabbos. Okay, getting married, the Mechaber is Machin, the Mechaber, you mentioned getting married, really it's not a good idea to get married at night, lie at night. The Mechaber says explicitly that it's Osir, okay? However, there are many poskim that are matter. Many poskim that are matter to get married, but Yafin said what it means is that your guests are not going to be taking haircuts. All of your guests are going to be coming without coming, you know, they can't take a haircut until the following morning. Okay, that's fine for many people. I don't care, but the family
can shave.
The family can shave. Yes, the family can shave.
And guests?
No, guests cannot shave.
What about not taking a haircut and not taking a shave and waiting till the next Erev Shabbos to do everything? Does that make any sense?
Well, what do you mean?
To the week, save me for next week if you want to shave next week.
Let's say like this year on Friday, not taking a haircut. Not taking a shave and doing everything for the next Shabbos. So this Shabbos, you're not going to really be so...
I don't understand. Erev Shabbos, you can certainly shave. It's like B'Omer.
What about taking a haircut?
Yes, of course. Mutter. Of course, on Lag B'Omer, you're allowed to take a haircut. By day.
By day.
Of course, by day is mutter. By day is 100% mutter. But at night is forbidden.
Right.
On a regular year, you're not allowed to take a haircut at night. The question is, can you be lenient this year and take a haircut at night? because this year it's Erev Shabbos. So does the combination of it being Lag BaOmer with it being Erev Shabbos permit one to take a haircut even Thursday night? That is the question of the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim says, Efsher. Maybe it's permitted this year, B'shas Adchak. He doesn't categorically say it's mutter, and he doesn't say that you should do it L'chatkila, but B'shas Adchak. Is it, are there weddings this Lag BaOmer at night? I have no doubt that every wedding hall is booked. Every wedding hall has a wedding this Thursday night. Every wedding hall has a wedding. How could it be? It says explicitly in the Mechaber, in the Beis Yosef, it is also to get married on the night of Lag BaOmer. You have to wait until the following morning because Miksas Hayom Kikuloi, Talmidim died on, a disrespect for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died on Lag BaOmer. They died on Lag BaOmer. The reason why we're leaning Lag BaOmer is because of Miksas Hayom Kikuloi, but Miksas Hayom Kikuloi does not kick in until the following morning. The answer is the Mechaber is Machmir. But there are many other poiskim. Who are the other poiskim that says over here? Av Amr Das Roiv HaPoiskim, the Milel Lamed Gimel Bo'imer Ve'elch Shari. Who are the poiskim? The footnote over here says, the Bach, and the Ramah, and the Magen Avram, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Okay, that's pretty good.
So Sfarim don't do wedding then?
I guess not. Unless they also have no choice. When push comes to shove, they'll do whatever they need to do. Because the problem is people need wedding halls. And Baruch Hashem, the population of Klal Yisrael has grown, and especially there aren't that many wedding halls that are affordable, and the ones that are affordable for a certain segment of society are booked. And if you're not going to get married now, you're not going to be then you're going to have to wait. It gets complicated. Shavuos is coming, and this is happening. It's not so easy to get the wedding hall that you want to happen. It's very, very often you do things that you never thought you would do. And even though, why do I need to get involved getting married the Lag BaOmer at night? Well, if you get a good deal in a wedding hall and your family is coming in at this time of the year, v'chulu v'chulu, and everyone understands life, everything has a life of its own, then you know something? You find yourself doing things that, maybe when you were in yeshiva and you learned that, I'm going to be a frumak, I'm not going to go and violate what it says in the Mechaber, the holy Beis Yosef. There's no one greater than the Beis Yosef. I'm going to go violate the Beis Yosef. Oh, really? And then you find yourself in life doing things, taking advantage of a coolest because you don't got a choice. You have a wife and you have the grandparents and there's this and there's that and everything has to work out together and you got a haul, you got a great deal. So guess what? You know, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is a very great person. The Bach is a very great person. The legend is that when the Bach died, they cleaned out the entire Gehenna. They said the gates of Gehenna were open wide. Everyone leave. You're free to leave in honor of the Bach. The Bach has come to Shemayim in honor of the, everyone should go give the Bach a Kabbalah Sponim in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and you don't have to come back. Once you're released from Gehenna, that's what the legend is. When he died, they let everyone out of Gehenna for free in his honor. So if the Bach is so great that they say these things about him, whether it's true or not, he's good enough for me to get married on the night of Lag BaOmer. Okay, so that's the bottom line. But the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they died. Listen, we just explained. Who says you can't get married during the Sfira? Whoever told you? Whoever told you that? During the Sfira, you mourn for the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Getting married is not a contradiction to mourning. Whoever said is a contradiction. Rahman al-Sadr, there's all these halachs and k'zuzach l'k'subis. If a person is about to get married and then one of his relatives dies, the halach is, first get married and then you'll mourn. It's not a contradiction. So we don't l'chatchila plan weddings in advance during Sfira. But on Lag BaOmer, which anyway is the tail end, anyway in the morning there's going to be, it's over. So at night already, you can already get married. Okay, that's the halacha. And once you can get married, the chassan and his family can shave, take a haircut, they can make all the preparations because it's all part of an extension of the simcha. The avilus already ends. Once ready, it's mutter, everything ready is mutter, even the day before. Because the chassan is going to get married Thursday night. When is he taking a haircut? Wednesday. Wednesday by day. Taking a shave by Wednesday by day in preparation because that's all built into the heder. It's a chiddush. It is a chiddush. But that's the bottom line. Okay, now, are you allowed to fast in Lag BaOmer? You're not supposed to fast in Lag BaOmer. You're not supposed to fast L'chatchila. What about a yard site? That's what it says, a yard site. If a person is yard in Lag BaOmer, you're not supposed to fast. Who's the Ramah? The Ramah's yard site is in Lag BaOmer. The Ramah daughter in Lag BaOmer. Tanis Chaloim, you're allowed to fast, but you get a benefit. What's the benefit? If you fast a Tainis Chaloim, you don't have to make it up. If a person fasts on Shabbos, this is a very big chiddush. If a person has a bad dream, Friday night, so what is the halacha? You're permitted to fast on Shabbos. But you have to fast 2 days in a row, Sunday, or pick another day, to atone for the sin of fasting on Shabbos. Again, if a person has a bad dream Friday night, he's permitted to fast on Shabbos, but he is required to fast again to atone for the sin of fasting on Shabbos. What happens if a person has a bad dream the night of Lag BaOmer? He's allowed to fast on Lag BaOmer and does not need to have a second fast to make it up. Yeah, people, not all people are into these type of things, but these are the halachs. Okay, you should not give blood. Hakozas hadam, blood drive. I don't, Hatzalah should not plan, schedule blood drives for Lag BaOmer. Coming on Sunday. This is very serious because these blood drives is a very big deal. They used to make a lot of blood drives, especially this time of the year when the weather gets nice, they make blood drives. And it happens, and blood drives are usually on Sunday. Okay, they still do it? Blood drives every Sunday? I don't see the signs anymore. And not during Corona, certainly not. But even before Corona, I don't know. Maybe I just not paying attention. When I years ago, there were massive signs all over the place. Every single Sunday, Hatzalah had a blood drive. Beli yoytze min haklal, and there's a rotation. They went to all the shuls. There's a whole collection of shuls in the neighborhood, in the David Cohen shul, and then in the Aguda Beis Binyamin, and then in this shul and that shul, there was a blood drive literally every single...
It has a plasma.
Oh, that's a different thing. The plasma is a different thing. That's a new thing. That's a new thing. There's a great... we'll talk about that in a second. But there used to be a blood drive every single Sunday. Bili Yaitse in Aklal. I don't know if they still do... I don't recall seeing the signs the last... even from before Corona, I don't recall seeing the signs. They still do it. So it happens very often that Lag BaOmer comes out on a Sunday. Is it the right thing to have a blood drive on Sunday? It's called Hakozas Hadam. Because giving blood, whatever it's all about, is not the right thing to do. On the other hand, you can argue that it's chesed. Hakozas Hadam that was forbidden was done when it was done by individuals for their health. So here, it's for the community, for people that are in sakana, people in the community who are in a matzav of sakana and need blood transfusions in the hospital. I know someone that went for a transfusion this past Sunday, Mitzvah Shabbos. I know someone, very chosher person. They took him to the hospital and he had a transfusion. Terrible. It's not a tribute. They need the blood. So therefore, how does all of that interplay with what it says in Chazal that Lag BaOmer, it is also to do Hakozas Hadam? Are we caught with safe and Me'oros HaRishonim? What is this? This is an authentic, a very authoritative Sefer, an old Sefer. Kosov Minaku Bezeh HaMalchus Ein Noistim Noshim Bein Mezlatzeres Ve'ein Makizin Dam Ad Lag BaOmer L'fish Shehayom Ein Alulim Sakona. Because when a person gives blood, they faint. Okay, you have to go talk to the doctors and the nurses and in the blood banks. I once saw this happen. I once gave blood years ago, and the person there fainted. Person fainted on the spot. He was giving blood. And he just fell asleep. he didn't wake up, and he fainted. Whatever. So they know what to do. They do this all the time. So it's not good to faint. And if you during the times when a person is it's a time of sakana, not a good mazel, then, it can lead to medical complications. I don't know, can it? Dr. Friedman, is there any sakana in fainting when giving blood? Does it Are there dangers in giving blood? So Chazal, whatever. They didn't know, I guess, out of the abundance of caution, of not knowing the consequences, if people faint, so it was not viewed as a good idea to get involved, to involve yourself in giving blood, leading to fainting, which who knows, whatever. You know, if you faint, you fall down. That's pretty bad. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe medically, but if a person, he faints, and he falls down on the floor when he faints, that's sakonas nefashos. How many stories are there where people, they faint, and the problem that they suffer as a consequence is not the fainting. The doctor says it was the fluke that you fainted, but they have to go for major surgery because they hit their head or they broke bones when they fell down, when they fainted. That could be the sakana. So it's not a good idea to get involved in giving blood on a day that's not a good day. So it's Lag Ba'omer, is not a good day. Because on Lag Ba'omer, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died. They did die. So you don't give blood on Lag Ba'omer. But now, in the modern world, you have to balance that, weigh that against the needs of the community. If the community every Sunday gives blood in order to provide for what is necessary, you know, that has to be balanced against the issue of not giving blood on Lag Ba'omer. I don't know what the Rabbanim do. I don't know what they did years ago when they had the blood drives, and when Lag Ba'omer came out on a Sunday, if they suspended the blood drive for one Sunday. Okay, that's your mayor's talking about the plasma drive. If you have this past week's Mishpacha magazine, it's online. There is a fantastic, unbelievable article about the plasma drive that was coordinated by a group of people, I think five from people, in response to COVID-19 about a year ago when people recovered in connection with the Mayo Clinic in where is Mayo Clinic?
Minnesota.
This unbelievable article. It's a very long article. You can get it online. The whole Mishpacha magazine is now online every week. It is a fantastic article. It is an incredible success, an incredible Kiddush Hashem beyond belief. It's just unbelievable what it says in that article. It's a fantastic, long, it's a masterpiece. Musa Haska. And then, I don't know if this is true, yes, Dr. Friedman, this is true, I read this, is that after they did all this research and they produced this plasma infusion and they gave it to a lot of people who benefited from it very much, even Trump. Trump was one of the first people to get it, at least that we know of, to get the plasma infusion. Trump did very well, he recovered very quickly.
He also got the quinine.
He got a lot of things, Trump. They give him everything they got to keep him alive. His biggest mazel in life was that he was the president for one reason. They saved his life. If Trump was not the president of the United States and he would have gotten corona like everyone else, what would have happened to him?
They would have gotten a doctor from Lakewood.
What would have happened to him? Who knows? I don't know. No one knows. No one knows what would have happened to him. He was petrified. He wasn't doing too well. But because he was the president of the United States, he got the best treatment in the world. The best treatment the world had to offer. They got him back in shape very quickly. That's the biggest mazel he had in life is being the president. So he was able to get the treatment that he got for corona. He came out ahead of the game. Unbelievable. But any event, just going on the side, there's a terrible thing they wrote, not in this article, and somewhere else I read this. This is a horrible thing, is that after they developed this plasma infusion, there was a review of the benefits, and the review said that it's not worth anything. There was some type of journal that said that it wasn't the benefits are insignificant, and they stopped. And many people took that review very, very seriously, and they stopped. A lot of doctors, a lot of hospitals, they stopped giving it. They said it's a waste of time. It's not worth anything. And then in hindsight, they discovered it's not true. It is very beneficial. And the calculation they made in this article that I read online, I don't know if it's true or not, is about 30,000 people they claim died
during this period
because the hospitals took seriously the review that it's not beneficial. Because they said it's not beneficial, they stopped focusing on the plasma infusion technique, and now they realize that it really was beneficial.
Made Pfizer rich, right?
It only works yeah. in the first few days of the illness. That's why if you get a positive test, they tell you to get it right away.
Right.
So it's used as a therapeutic, but it has to be given very early.
Very early, but even giving it very early, it's...
No, it works.
Right,
it works.
Right but
all
they...
All the hospitals
they,
locally here...
Now they went back to using it.
Was hired as a nurse just to give that in the emergency room. So it worked very well, but you have to do it...
Immediately. Right. But it seemed, this is what it said in this article. I don't even remember where I saw this. Is that information that you just said is known now, but there was a period of time of confusion
where they said was correct.
And they stopped giving it even
that's
immediately.
Correct. And then they started.
And they started again. So during that period when they stopped giving it immediately, I don't know if this is true. They add up the numbers, mm-hmm. and they argue that in the country, 30,000 people died because of this confusion. Now they know, give it immediately. Now they went back to acknowledging.
They stopped. It was. Hatzolo was pushing it.
Okay, whatever. So it's a shocking claim. I mean, it's an outrageous claim. Is it true or not? I don't know. You don't know what's true, what's not true. But it's a frightening thing. Now, this plasma infusion, by and large, all came because of the Orthodox community in Lakewood. They mobilized in lightning fast speed to provide donors. There were five
Muncie.
People. What?
Muncie,
and the Jew from community. You have to read the article, all the details. There are five from Orthodox Jews that mobilized, coordinated, they pooled their skills. And the achievements and even Ad Hayom Hazeh, the studies that are being done and that have come out from what they've done is valuable beyond belief in understanding how to deal with COVID.
I know two people that last week got the
infusion.
Yeah.
Dr. Friedman says you have to get it immediately. The moment you get a positive result immediately, you have to get it. That's when it's most effective. Otherwise, it's not going to, but it does work, obviously, and it saves people's lives. Okay, we're going on the tangent. So therefore, this all that giving, so this is very interesting. So if you have a blood drive, there's no doubt in my mind that in Lag BaOmer, there's an appeal to the community to give blood in order for the research, for this thing. Obviously, that's going to override anything else. Don't have a push on my oath. The reason why I'm just focused, I just read this article and totally blew my mind, and it talks about Lag BaOmer, you're not allowed to give blood. Aha, uh-huh, yeah, very nice. You're not allowed to give blood when there's no such thing as COVID-19 and the hospitals have plenty of blood and there's no emergency. But if you have a situation where the community is in desperate need, and especially when it comes to something like this with the plasma and the need for research and v'chulu, obviously that has much more importance than Lag BaOmer not giving blood, which itself is very comfortable to understand. Okay, I don't know how late it is. Let's talk about a little Agad before we run out of time. I want to discuss this idea of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva dying. And it's something very interesting. There are two Mamori Chazal which appear, which are different. And they have a very different take as to why the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died. We only have on record two Mamori Chazal, two original sources describing what is the significance of Rabbi Akiva, of Lag BaOmer. The significance is basically that they stopped dying. They stopped dying, and that is why we're allowed to take haircuts and get married. But what exactly are the words of Chazal? I have to find it. I'll give you the words exactly. One Maimon Chazal. Here it is, okay, here it is. Two Mamori Chazal. And they say something, they say different things entirely. The first is Talmud Bavli, Mesech Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. It says there these words, Shneim Osar Elef Zugois, 12,000 peers, Gesundheit, Talmidim, students, Hoyu lo le Rebbe Akiva, Bikulam, every last one of them. 12,000 zugos. Mesu, they died. Biperek echot, in one time period. In one perek. What does perek mean? Perek is a very, very generic term. It means in one period. When is that period? Mea Pesach. These are the words of the Gemara. This is the original source. This is the real deal. This is where it comes from. Mea Pesach v'ad Atzeres. From Pesach until Shavuos. Why? What's the reason? Okay, this is the danger of the Gemara. I always talk about this, that today, why do Jews always, they're loose cannons. Jews are loose cannons. They have loose tongues. When anything, something happens in this world, oh, I'll tell you why. You know why? Why was this Corona? I saw an article, he collected all of the reasons why Corona happened. It was like the thing Litzanus. All the reasons why Corona happened. The internet, sneers, because of the boys are not getting married. Smartphones. Boys are getting married too late. They should be ready to be getting married by the time they're 21. They voted in the elections, in the WSO elections, the World Zionist Organization. There was a whole big dilemma. Should you vote? Should you not vote? It's because we voted in those elections. Or it's because we did not vote in those elections. We talked during davening. It was hilarious. It was just a comedy article. The article was a comedy article. He collected all the reasons. It's a very sad commentary.
Where's this article?
In the FJJ. Oh. I think. No. It wasn't the FJJ. I don't remember. I really don't remember. Yeah, It was a comedy piece. It's a sad commentary that unfortunately, people have attended to loose cannons. No one knows anything. No one knows why it happened. No one will ever know why it happened. Not in this world. Now, but why is it that there's a tendency amongst Orthodox Jews to shoot from the hip and tell you why everything happened? It's very simple why. Because it's for a very good reason why this error happens. Because Baruch Hashem, Orthodox Jews, they live their bread and butter, their meat and potatoes in this world is the Talmud Bavli. Baruch Hashem, people learn. It's a beautiful thing. That's why we survived all these years. Daf Yomi, you learn the Gemara. And the Gemara, it seeps into our psyche, our way of thinking. And what does it say in the Gemara? Over and over, the Gemara tells us about tragedies and tells us why it happened. Every daf, every other daf, there was a tragedy. Why did it happen? The internet. Why did it happen? Sneeze. The Gemara says over and over. So when you learn a daf, you're a daf yomi, you're a diehard daf yomi person, it seeps into your frame of mind that when something happens, oh, like the Gemara, you become a living Talmud, you'd say what? Unfortunately, people get carried away and they forget to realize, hey, you're not the Gemara. Calm down. Go take a cold shower. You're not Ravina and Rav Ashi. We're not living during the time of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, the Rabban Savaroi. Relax here. No one knows nothing today. Don't think we're living in the era of the Gemara. Okay, and here's a case in point. The Gemara says it was a tragedy. There was a tragedy. 24,000 young men, Talmidei Chachamim, dropped dead in a short period of time. So the Gemara jumps in. I'll tell you why. You know why? I'll tell you why. Al Shaloi Nohagu Kovoid Zebozeh. This is only one Gemara. You have 100 pieces of Gemara like this. So you learn Daf Yomi every single day. You begin to get confident that you also know what's going on in this world. That's a horrible, horrible mistake. We know zero. But you understand where it comes from. It's a certain mindset. But the Gemara says, this is the reason why they died. Al Sheloi Nohagu Kovoid Zebozeh. And then it goes on to say, V'hoi ha'olam shameim. The world was desolate. Abli Torah. No Torah. Ad Shebar Rabbi Akiva Eitzel Rabbi Seinu Shebidoroim. He went down south. Where is down south? I don't know. And who was there? We found there five students. Five. The big five. Who are they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, that's Rashbi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Ushin, he started all over again. The Haim, Hemidu es Torah, they are the ones who restored Torah to Klal Yisrael. Tana, then the Gemara goes, Vayit Tana on the Brayis, so Kula Mesim mi Pesach vi Aratzeres, Amar Rav Chama bar Abba, Vitem Rav Chia bar Oven, Kula Mesu Miso Ro'o, an evil death. What does that mean? Maihi, Amar Rav Nachman, Askra. End of the Gemara. That is it. That's the whole story. All of these Svarim that you hear, all the Darshanim, all based upon this piece of Gemara, Mesechta Yevamis, what did I say it was? In Mesechta Yevamis, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. But guess what? That's not the only source. There's a competing source of equal authenticity, same time period. And that comes from a Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah, perhaps even measure the same time. The Medrash Rabbah, if I'm not mistaken, was edited side by side with the Talmud Bavli, the Medrash Rabbah. And what is in the Medrash Rabbah? Something very different. Very different. Same time period, but a different account. Gar Sinan the Medrash Rabbah, Parashas Chaye Sora, Gar Sinan B'Ktsas Shinuyim. It's not the same there. I'm reading what it says there. Yud Beis Elef Talmidim Hoyu L'Rebbe Akiva. It does not say Zugois in the Medrash Rabbah. The total sum was 12,000. Not like what it says in the Talmud Bavli, there were 24,000 Zugois. Only 12,000. And here it says where they lived. It doesn't say this in the Talmud Bavli. May Akoi. The ad Antipatris. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Antipatris?
Yeah, it's
Antipatris.
What's it called then?
Antipatris. Antipatris, it says here.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Fine.
It's a four, a big four.
It's a place. Okay? Antipatris, it says. No, you whatever. Whatever. It says here in the Gemara, this word. That's what it says here. And it says where they were located. Is limiting.
This is not a conflict because this is north.
A different. Oh, so he says the Rav Meir says that this location is in the north. It's a fortress. It's a battlefield. Okay, Rav Meir wants to say these were soldiers in the army. He wants to say these were members of the armed forces, the Israeli Defense Force for Bar Kokhba. Okay, this was it says where they were in Akoi to Antipas. The Kulam, every last one of the 12,000, Beperik Echad Mesu. By the way, over here it's interesting. It says over here the word Mesu at the end. This is expression. There it says Mesu. It says the word Mesu Beperik Echad. And here it says Beperik Echad Mesu. Is there a diuk over here? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Peric, you look at it backwards.
Okay. But it says they died during this time. Lama. Lama. Why? Everyone wants to know why the Corona. Lama. Why? Okay. Same idea. Lama. Mibnei. It says something very different. Shahoisa einehem tsara elu bo elu. It doesn't say here shaloi nohagu kavod ze boze. By the way, it says ze boze. It doesn't say what the olam says. When people speak, they make a mistake and they say shaloi nohagu kavod ze loze. The common darshan who doesn't look at the source will say shaloi nohagu kavod ze with a lamet loze. It's like be'oimer. There's a very big difference between a lamed and a beis. It doesn't say in the Gemara, Shalai no ha'kavod ze lo ze. Shalai no ha'kavod ze bo ze. Okay, we'll get that in a moment. Okay, it's a very different nusach, ze bo ze. But in the Medrash Rabbah, it doesn't talk about Shalai no ha'kavod. It says, b'nei wulama, why? That itself is very interesting because in the Bavli, it doesn't say Lama. In the Bavli, it just tells you why. It doesn't ask the question. That's a very minor detail, which I personally believe is the topic of a big drasha. As in the two different sources, that in the Bavli, it doesn't ask Lama. As if to say, don't ask, don't tell. If you're not... It's the opposite. There it says no one's asking, and the Rabban, they come out and they tell you why. In the Medrash Rabbah, Lama. There's a demand to know why. In the Bavli, who cares? There's no demand to know why. Chazal have to wake us up and tell us why it happened. In the Medrash Rabbah, it says, Lama. Okay, that's a world of a difference. It's a world of a difference that the Medrash Rabbah injects the word Lama. Doesn't just tell us off the cuff why it happened. Shehoisa einehem mitzara elu bo elu. They begrudged one another. That's not what it says in the Bavli. The Bavli says, Shaloi no hagu kovoid. They loved each other. They just didn't give each person the honor they deserved. The Medrash Rabbah is much more critical. We're not even at the madreig of giving kovoid. Shehoisa einehem tzara. They begrudged. They did not fargin. You have parnasa? Who are you? How come I can't have make a good living and you can make a good living? Shehoisa einehem tzara elu bo elu. And then it doesn't talk about in this Maamar Chazal what happened. That the world was shomein from Torah. There was no Torah. Oh, tragedy. There's no Torah in the world. No Torah, what's going to be in the Welt? It doesn't talk about that. It says, it was soif. At the end, Rabbi Akiva went and he started all over again, and he reestablished, and here it says something different, he reestablished with 7 Talmidim. In the Bavli, it doesn't give numbers, it just gives you a list, and it gives you a list of 5. Here it says there were 7, it counts them by number, 7, and they're the same people, and 2 more people are added to the list. Uvitsoif, Hamid, Shiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozman, Shamua, Rabbi Yochanan, Sandler. Ah, that's the key. Rabbi Yochanan, Sandler is not listed here. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva, now that goes further. Shocking warning. Amalei, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is a little bit of Bonai. He gives them Musar. In the Bavli, there's no Musar. Hari Yeshayim loy meisu ela shohaisa named Tzara elu lo elu. Tnu daitchem shloy tasu kimasem. Don't repeat their evil deeds. This itself is also an enormous amount. The difference between this and the previous, you know, after the Holocaust, no one went around to people. No one went around to people and put advertisements in the newspaper and says, you know why the Holocaust happened? It's because of A, B, C, D, and therefore we're telling everyone, don't repeat their mistakes. Don't repeat. After the Holocaust, there's no record of any Rabbanim getting up and telling people, you know why they all died? It's because of A, B, C, D. They do that today. Today, 75 years.
Came out a few years ago.
75 years later, people are doing this. But let's talk in the immediate aftermath of the Holocaust. Was there even one person that got up? I don't know. I can't imagine. But even did you ever hear about a story where after the Holocaust, a person gets up and says, do you know why they died? They died, I don't know why, but mistaver, it's because of all of these sins. So I'm warning all of you, my congregants, don't behave like those sinners because you'll suffer the same Holocaust like them. They'll take this person and they'll hang him up by his toenails and we'll talk like that. The tragedy is so great. When a tragedy is so great, you don't have to go around telling people, you know why they died? You know why they died? Because don't be like them. In the Bavli, there's no mention that Rabbi Akiva is giving Musar to his Talmidim, telling them why they died, and you better make sure you don't repeat their mistakes. In the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva is telling the people, you know why they died? Don't repeat their mistakes. The differences between these two Maamari Chazal are so enormous. These are the only 2 sources. There's nothing else. It's the Bavli, Masechta Yevamos, and the Medrash Rabbah. The way, if you read it just casually, it's the same thing. Shloino hagu kovod zeh lazeh. Einayim, tzara zu bezu, it's all the same thing. They just don't, you know, they're just not nice people. Yeah, that's a very naive, a very immature and unsophisticated way of looking at what happened. But when you acknowledge, these are two different Mamari Chazal, and the way they're expressed in every single nuance is worlds of difference. Why do they die? Shaloi Nohagu Kavod Zeh LaZeh is a completely different reason than Shehaisa Einayim Tzara Zu Bezu. It's a whole different psyche, a whole different frame of mind.
What does it mean?
Shehaisa Einayim Tzara? It means they look down begrudgingly upon another person. A person goes and he makes a simcha. You go to the wedding and you dance with your hands up. And you say, mazel tov, mazel tov, and you give a nice present, and you come home and you say to your wife, this guy does not deserve what he got. He made a simcha. Who is he? He's a piece of garbage. He's a faker. He's a phony. I was at the wedding, and I was just burning with jealousy. It's not fair. We live in a corrupt world, and he was only because he's rich, because of this. And you go behind his back, and you go to the wedding, and you give him covenant. Give a nice check and you say nice things, and inside you feel rotten to the core. He doesn't deserve this. That's what it means. It means Shehoisa named Tzara Zubazu. I don't forgive him. Shaloi Nasnu Kavod Zeh LaZeh means just the opposite. He deserves it. He's a good man. I'm not going to the wedding. He says, oh, Hashem gave him enough brach. I don't have to go and show it to him. Okay, yeah, we are out of time now. You have the different reasons entirely. It says here there were 24,000 Talmidim. Here it says there were 12,000 Talmidim. Here we're talking about location. Here we're not. Here we're talking, here in the Bavli, the tragedy was so great, we don't even want to talk about it. We don't even want to talk about it. When a tragedy is very great, you don't need to go and give musr to people. Don't behave. That's not the way the world works. When a tragedy is so great, you're in such shock, the Holocaust survivors basically blacked out of their mind what happened. No one spoke about it for generations because you cannot even deal with it. So that was the Bavli. In the Bavli, there's no discussion. There's no discussion what happened. In the Medrash, they were talking about it in the streets. Loma, asking questions. There are fundamental differences between these two Mamari Chazal that appear almost impossible to reconcile.
One is a Medrash, and the Medrash...
Okay, so if Meir is giving an saying, there's a Medrash, and there's a Talmud Bavli, and this perhaps is a springboard to have an appreciation of the purpose of the Bavli versus the purpose of a Medrash. That's a very powerful idea he's saying. That you have to understand the purpose of the books that are presenting the information, and each book takes a story and presents it differently in order to achieve the goal of what that book is about. Okay, but there are still problems. There are factual problems. There's still issues. Ad kedei kach, that if I had the guts, I would go say a chiddush that no one ever said. They're different stories. And they happen at the same time. And the MS says, you know how many Talmidim died? 36,000 Talmidim. Not 24,000 Talmidim. 36. And 24,000 Talmidim, was one of the major differences, by the way, probably the most significant difference between the two is, what was the tragedy? In the Bavli, it says these words, the Hoya Ha'olam Shomim B'li Torah. No Torah. The world has come to an end. In the Medrash Rabbah, who cares? 12,000 people die. No, who cares about Torah? That's not the issue. So there was no Torah. In the Bavli, the Hoya, Ha'olam Shomim. It would appear, I had the guts to say, they're two different stories. They coincided. Rabbi Akiva had 36,000 Talmidim. 36. Only 24,000 came home with him to Rachel. The Gemara says, what does the Gemara have to say that Rabbi Akiva came back after 24 years with 24,000 Talmidim? What's the difference? No. He came back with 24,000 Talmidim, not 36,000 Talmidim. 12,000 didn't come back with him.
They stayed in Beis Medrash.
They stayed in Beis Medrash, or exactly, Bittul Torah. You can dash him from today until tomorrow. All the pieces begin to come together. There are two different stories. 36,000 people died. 24,000 people died for one reason, and 12 died for another reason. 24,000 people died because Shaloi Nohagu covered Zelazer. That's a whole different. 12,000 died She'enem Tzada Zubizu. They're different. One was a void of Torah. One, there was no void of. They wanted that Talmud Chacham anyway. Or their Torah wasn't worth their Torah. Or maybe they were soldiers. It was a different type of tragedy. It would appear, if we had the guts, to suggest there were really 36,000 Talmudim. And also, by the way, there are two different times of mourning. We mourn until Lag BaOmer, and then we mourn from Lag BaOmer to the end. When exactly did they die? These are two different stories. If you really want to take it seriously and not just, you know, out to lunch, you cannot reconcile these two stories. I'm sorry. Go bring in the big team of psychologists and try to reconcile these two stories. It's not going to work. They're two different stories. It happened at the same time. And you know what it reveals to us? Like COVID, like the Holocaust. There's no such thing as one size fits all. Why did tragedy happen? Well, number one, today no one knows. Okay, that's a given. That's even before we start. No one knows. But number two, there is a reason. Hashem knows the reason, not us. But guess what? It's not the same for everyone. For this person, it was because of this. For this person, it was because of this. It was because of this. It's not the same. Look, even medically, why did the person die? Some people, they couldn't breathe. Their lungs were filled. They were filled with the whatever, with COVID, destroyed their lungs. They died. Other people, they recovered from the COVID, but the COVID put such strain on their body, their preconditions, their medical conditions could not survive because their body was under so much stress, so they just had a meltdown. Everyone died for a different reason, medically. Everyone has a different reason, the consequence, the side effects. Just like medically everyone died for it, in the spiritual world, it's naive to think, oh, Hashem has a complaint, and we don't know what that complaint is, obviously, and because of that, one size fits all, everyone died. No, that's not the way it goes. It was a time of din. And in the time of din, there are many things going on. Every person, every matzav is different. There are some matzavim when you can say when it's over, lama. And there are some matzavim, keep your mouth shut. Don't ask questions. It's not appropriate. There are some matzavim where you need to repair the damage. You need a Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler to come in to close the inning. Okay, what was his uniqueness? I don't know. And there are other tragedies. I don't need you, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. You're not part of the solution. Rabbi Akiva needed a solution to the problem. In one story, he called in five people, five professionals to solve the problem. In the other story, he called in seven people. The dynamics of the seven is not the same dynamics as the five. Why? Because this is a different story. It's a different need. There's a gilui over here of how complex life is. And not to be naive and just thinking, you know, everything is one size fits all. We don't know what. We don't know. Why did it happen? Who knows? But whatever, it was one reason. And everyone, the collateral damage. Oil to Russia, oil to Shechina. Come on, you're so naive to believe that. There's one reason. And the good people have to suffer. Oil to Russia, the Shechina. They didn't make a macha. Come on, that's not the way it goes. You see from this, there's a time of complaint. And Hashem has a different complaint for every single person. Why? Whatever. We don't know why. But not to be naive and put everything in one big conglomerate. All right, we'll stop over here. It's late. I thank you for listening. Went overtime. Have a wonderful day. So you say it's the military.
Yeah, and I have
this the 24,000 is the Talmidei Chachamim, and the 12 was the army.
More. Proves it more. I'll say more. Yeah, I just picked it up because what you said. It says from Akko to Antipatris. Akko and Antipatris were major fortified things. So he's telling you a hint. We'll talk. The word Perek, he used this same in both places.
Right.
Perek. What is Perek? Why didn't he say Zman? Why didn't he say that? He said, sorry, spell Perek backwards.
Kuf Reish Kor.
Koresh Pei.
Korab.
Krav.
Korab.
Say a Pei as a base. Nablus.
You're changing Nablus. The Pei into a base. Korav. Okay.
Krav.
Okay.
War.
War. Ooh, okay.
Right?
In okay. One war, okay.
Okay. The 24,000, he says, were 12,000 Zugis?
Yes.
Zugis, what does it mean to you? A Zug. When you say.
A couple.
If Rabbi Akiva left his wife to sit and learn with 12,000 guys,
okay.
The guys didn't sit bottle. They had the wives too.
Okay.
The wives were part of the learning. They got the schar for the learning.
You want to say that the zugos, the wives.
Right. And when they died, he's telling you beferish, I'm not worried about population that people died. I'm worrying about the Torah that died. When a couple dies, you have two things die.
Yeah.
One, there's no more children.
Okay.
And one is no more tired.
Okay, shamim. Okay.
So that's why he's emphasizing. He could have said shamim. What he says further.
Very good.
What is the shamim?
On the future.
On the Torah was shamim.
Because there's no talmidim to.
And maybe that's why we don't marry now because the wives died then.
Very
too.
Good. You're saying zugos means a couple, husband and wife. When the talmidim do zugos, it means the husband with the wife died. The zug. And therefore, that's why the minigas don't get married to commemorate the zugos that died, the couples, the marriages.
And it also supports the first chumrah from Atzeres, from Pesach to Lag Baomer.
Yeah, why?
Because that's when they died. Once you Lag Baomer, you already get you
okay.
Make
already. And then the 12,000 are going to be the soldiers of the Bar Kochva.
Yeah.
There were two groups he had. He had the 24 zugos of Talmidim and the 12,000 soldiers. In war, you don't have women in war. They're not
right,
command.
Right.
So there's only 12,000 people from the Akkoi until
so that matches it. So
is the battlefield.
So it matches why he had 24,000 Talmidim.
Tyra.
Who came, and he had the 12,000 wives who were separate.
And they all died.
Yeah.
But when the 12,000 are the soldiers. The
soldiers from the yeshiva. Half went to Tyra and half went
and
to
the Rome. Soldiers, it doesn't say the will was showing for Tyra because that was not their specialty. Tyra was not their specialty. Was that? And he needed Yochanan Sanan, then he had to rebuild the army. He had to rebuild the army.
And you can even say further that the Lonagu covered Zebazed is talking about the husband and wife.
Very good. And in also a name Tsara Zubazu are the soldiers. A name Tsara Zubazu.
Yeah, I'm better than you, I'm a better soldier.
Colonel
than you.
Ranking, rank and file.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. There's something going
on
here.
I just
want
to find out. I have to look into the two extra Yochanan Sandler.
Yeah. What is their uniqueness? What is their uniqueness?
Now, the reason they went south, because the whole north was the Romans came in the north. They didn't go to the south, though. They did, but not so much. It was the north. They came to Akko, let's say, and they marched to Yerushalayim. The south was not mountains. It was so
it was just a seaport. You needed to get from Rome to the sea.
Right, so what's then used that go as the sea? It was always a
everything on the west coast.
Right.
A lot of Roman.
I like what you're saying very much. I think
just have to
there is something.